This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, October 12th, 2025. The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, Easy Yoke.
I love that song. It's Only by the Blood. Oh my goodness, that's awesome. How's everybody doing today? How are we feeling? You ready? It's going to be a good day. All right, so let's dive in. If you have spent some time reading the Bible, you've probably heard of the Great Commission. Anybody know what that is? The Great Commission. What did Jesus say in the Great Commission? Very simply, go make disciples. That's what it boils down to. Matthew 28. You know that? Okay. Do you know any of the other greats of Jesus? You know about the Great Commandment? Anybody know the Great Commandment? What was it? Love God and love others, basically. Love God, love others. That's the Great Commandment. Did you know there's another great in Matthew that comes before the Great Commission and the Great Commandment? You know about this? Some people call this the Great Invitation. The Great Invitation. And here's what Jesus says in the Great Invitation, simply. Come to me. Come to me. I don't know about you, but I constantly need to hear those words from Jesus. Come to me. It just makes me love him all the more that he makes it so simple. Before he tells me to go serve the mission, before he tells me to love God, love others, he says, come to me. And that's where it all starts. He's so kind. He's so good. Let's pray, and then we'll read that full invitation. Let's pray. Lord, we feel our souls rising when we hear that invitation, rising to meet you, when we hear you say, come to me. Oh, and some of us here in this room, I know some of us watching online, just really desperately need to hear that invitation today where Jesus just says, come to me. And I pray, God, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, your word would break through into our lives, to the places where we need it most, that you would bring healing and salvation in the name of Jesus as we come to you for all that you have for us today. And we pray this in the mighty name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God's people say, amen. So here's what our Lord says, the full invitation in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So what is your burden? What is your burden? And what are you doing with it? When we take our burden someplace other than the infinite God, we ultimately end up with exhaustion or addiction. We end up with this hurried, weary, compulsive way of life that is the yoke of the modern world. You know what I'm talking about? Life just has a weight to it, doesn't it? Life has a weight to it. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what season of life you're in. I mean, I feel like even in this cultural moment especially, there's this weight. And now it's not even just the adults that feel it. We see young people that feel that weight. We see children that feel that weight, like the pressure of life. And the temptation is, especially as we get into adulthood and we start carrying the weight of the world and all these responsibilities, the temptation is to seek relief by reaching for anything in front of us that can distract, numb, comfort, satisfy the ache, provide an escape. That ache, right? The ache of past wounds, we all have them. The ache of fear, stress, anxiety, hurry, pressure, the ache of unmet longings and expectations, the ache of grief, guilt, shame, the ache of when life just feels meaningless, the ache of survival, the burdens of life, the burdens of life. So we end up with all these compulsive, even addictive relationships to stuff. Food, coffee, alcohol, substances, sex, gambling, sports, entertainment, technology, video games, exercise. Achievement, success. What did I miss? And instead of just receiving and celebrating God's good gifts in God's good way, which we're meant to do, it becomes, I need this to feel better. I need this to feel something. I need this to make it through. And I'll get it at any cost, no matter the consequences of myself or others. Welcome to the history of the world. There's a historian named David Courtwright who says that we are living in the age of addiction. And he calls this civilization. You know, we live in a civilization of limbic capitalism. This is really interesting. Limbic capitalism. Limbic system in your brain is the pleasure center and the feelings and emotions and such. And so he says, it is this technologically advanced business system that encourages excessive consumption and addiction. It's the deliberate design of products that make us addicted to the feelings we get when we use them. America runs on dopamine. Dopamine is that pleasure chemical in your brain that's kind of like your reward system. And they say that the reason that you compulsively check your email and check Facebook whenever is that dopamine hit where it's like designed, it's limbic capitalism. It's designed to get you to just like get, you know, kind of addicted to it and be compulsive with it. Whoa, this is a pretty gnarly world we're living in, kids. It's pretty gnarly out there. Bottom line, our souls are looking for relief. And this world has a tendency to ensnare us to a yoke of slavery, only to make the weight heavier. And as the weight gets heavier, we crave relief more, and the cycle continues. You get it? But there is good news. We're in church, right? There is good news. Can we get some good news? In this fallen world, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. And that's like the hardest thing sometimes, right? Like it's so simple. Why is it so hard? It's the answer. He's like, come, just come to me. If we could just do that. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What does that mean, and how does that work? Let's just break this down. I know you've heard this scripture before. Many of you have heard this before. It's a beautiful passage. But let's break it down a little bit together, shall we? Who is Jesus speaking to? Here's the first question. Who's Jesus speaking to with this great invitation? Well, he says he's addressing all those who are weary and burdened. So in this context of the Gospel of Matthew, specifically, he's addressing fellow Israelites who were burned out on religion. That's the way the Message translation puts it. This legalistic way of keeping God's law taught by the scribes and Pharisees who often clashed with Jesus. And Jesus is saying to them, you're wearing yourself out trying to keep God's law on your own strength, trying to measure up on your own power. Follow me and I will show you a better way to walk with God, to fulfill all of this. More broadly, Jesus is speaking to the human condition. He's speaking to the human condition weighed down by the burden of sin and the weariness of life in this broken world. And that's all of us. He's speaking to all of us. What does Jesus promise? What's the promise here? He says, come to me, and then what? I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls. So rest from what? Rest from that futile feeling of surviving in a fallen world, rests from our own striving efforts to save ourselves apart from God, rests from our sin, which abuses us like a tyrant and yokes us to condemnation, rests from a world captive to sin and death. In short, salvation. Salvation is what he's inviting us to and promising for us. So how do we enjoy that promise, as he describes it here? What's Jesus' answer to all of this? He says, come to me and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble of heart. And he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All right, so now we're going to have to break down this imagery because it's not something a lot of us are familiar with or use on a daily basis. What is a yoke? What in the world is a yoke? Just give you a hint, it doesn't have to do with eggs. It's not over easy. It's not scrambled. Remember, Jesus was talking primarily to like an agrarian culture. Most people made their living some kind of agricultural way, living off the land. And so this was a very obvious image to them. A yoke looks like this. A yoke is a piece of equipment. Right? You know this. It's a piece of equipment that allows beasts of burden to work together. So oxen, cows, horses, etc., you know, they're united for a common task, like pulling a plow or a cart, a burden or something like that. And it was often a custom carved wooden beam with adjustable braces that was allowed it to comfortably fit specifically the animal that was wearing it. You know, so that there wouldn't be like chafing and bruising and whatever, and the burden could be easily and comfortably shared, okay? So this word yoke literally means like a coupling, a uniting, a joining two together to work as one. So Jesus is saying, take my yoke. Are you getting the picture? Get the picture he's giving you? This is, the great invitation is immensely powerful and absolutely life-altering. You know, think about who's saying this. Think about who's speaking here. This is Jesus inviting you and me to come up alongside him in his yoke with him, right? This is Jesus we're talking about, the King of the universe, the Messiah, the Word made flesh in whom all things were made, the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the Redeemer who died and rose and reigns. Like, he's saying to you and me, I want to do life with you. I want you to stop trying to carry the burden of living and following God on your own with whatever equipment the world gives you, and instead come to me, come up under my yoke and do it with me. Could there be anything more life-changing than that invitation coming from this person, this one? Imagine doing life yoked with Jesus, shoulder to shoulder. He became like us for this purpose. You know, we're talking about the only one who ever walked out of his grave on his own strength, on his own power. And so when he says it, He means it, and you better believe he can deliver on this promise when he invites you to come to him and do this with him. But you got to accept the invitation to enjoy the results. You got to come to him. Learn from him. Learn to do it his way. And you'll begin to see the abundant life that is with Jesus. He does all the heavy lifting. He does the stuff that we can't do. But he says, hey, I'm humble and gentle. Walk alongside me. I will show you. I'll show you a better way. Every other yoke, in the end, every other yoke is a yoke of slavery. This is the image that the Bible uses to talk about life apart from Christ. You know, it's like the Israelites in captivity to Egypt. Like, it's only the yoke of Jesus, the Messiah, that allows us to find rest and freedom and salvation in this world. Now, admittedly, there's an irony to this invitation. It is ironic because, like, you know, we come to Jesus, you know, we're looking for rest, like he said, and then he offers us a work instrument. Like, here's a plow. Like, it's kind of unexpected. Like, I need a bed or a vacation. And he's like, here's a yoke. You know, what's up with that? But Jesus knows that what we really need is not just an escape, but we need a new way of life. A new way of life, doing life with him. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Dallas Willard explained it like this. He called it the secret of the easy yoke. And he says it like this. Jesus is saying in this invitation, get involved in my work with me. It's a whole life process of doing and saying what he does. It isn't just for church, for time in church. It's you bring your whole life into the flow of what God is doing. Think about what you spend your time doing every day. What you did today, what you're doing tomorrow. You do that in the yoke with Jesus. As you do it, you look to him and you seek and trust that he will act with you. And what happens is we begin to rest in the strength of Christ in which we're walking in. Wow. Augustine of Hippo, long, long time ago, I think around the 4th century, he was describing this verse, and he said that the weight of Jesus' burden is like the weight of a bird's wings. He said, any other burden oppresses and crushes you, but Christ actually takes weight off you. Any other burden weighs you down, but Christ's burden gives you wings. I give Emily a hard time because of Red Bull. It's not Red Bull. It's Christ. Sorry. If you take a bird's wings away, you might seem to be taking weight off it. But the more weight you take off it, the more you tie it down to the earth, give it back the weight of its wings, and you'll see how it flies. This is how the easy yoke and the light burden of Jesus works. It is a paradox. Because, you know, when you take on that yoke, he is also saying ultimately, like, hey, you got to die to yourself. You got to surrender everything. But in doing that, you're going to live. That's the paradox of the weight and the burden and the yoke of Jesus, isn't it? But you find that you're able to fly. And the freedom that he gives you gives us wings to soar. This is a whole way of life. It affects every part of life. This is about doing life with Jesus as our Savior, Lord, and teacher. This is about adjusting the habits and practices of daily life according to his teaching. By his grace, beginning to just, instead of just going on autopilot and do what's instinctive, it's like you look beside you and Jesus is there and you're like, wait, how am I supposed to do this? Oh, I'm supposed to forgive that person. Okay. Wait, what am I supposed to do now? Oh, I'm supposed to live generously. Oh, I'm supposed to actually trust you with this and not just like fret and fear about it like I used to do. Okay, help me. And he helps you. He gives you grace to do what you couldn't do on your own. And so in the end, there are kind of two options for us. I mean, there is the yoke of sin, which is a yoke of slavery, the yoke of condemnation, and then there's the yoke of Jesus. Last week, we talked about the options between the bread. You know, are you eating the bread of anxious toil, or are you living on the bread of life? This week, it's kind of the choice between the yokes. You know, there's only one yoke of Jesus. There's only one way. But the yoke of sin takes many forms. Many forms. That burden takes many forms. So think about your life today. Think about your life as you hear this invitation from Jesus. Which yoke are you living in? Which yoke are you walking in? The yoke of slavery or the yoke of Jesus? Which one do you want to live in? Where do you want to be? And what does your yoke of sin look like? What's the shape of that yoke? Is it bondage to your own attempts at saving yourself, trying to measure up on your own strength? Is it bondage to your desires for comfort, relief, satisfaction that lead to sinful compulsions and destructive habits? Is it bondage to the opinions of others and to success and whatever and achievement? What's the shape of that yoke for you? It's different for people depending on their story and their family of origin and their wiring and all that kinds of stuff, you know? You know, I once heard it said, like, God has a plan for your life, but the enemy has a plan for your life too. God has a yoke for you to walk in that's good, but the enemy has a yoke too. Now, I'm going to get vulnerable with you again today. I did last week. I'm going to go two for two. I'm not going to do it every week. I'm going to run out of stuff to share. But I felt like this is an opportunity to tell you some of my story about the yokes. And I share this knowing that it is relevant to lots of people. Okay? In my most formative years as a teenager, early teen years, and growing up a little bit, my yoke of sin was the yoke of lust. Big shocker, right? Teenage boys. It's not ever. Yeah. That was me. Just as I was entering into adolescence, super vulnerable and impressionable, some older people around me exposed me to things I shouldn't have seen. I lived before the smartphone. We had desktop internet, but it was there. You know what I'm talking about, right? And I got hooked bad. I got pulled into a cycle of hidden sin and shame and that whole process of, you know, I'm reaching for something to bring comfort and validation and, you know, something to escape the pressures of life, and it's just so easy and it's there, and then it leads to more shame and more hiding, which leads to more using. Like, my drug was lust. As I became a man and got some perspective, I learned things about my family. I discovered some stories and I made some observations, and I realized that all of the men in my life and the family line I came from that were alive that I knew of and several generations back that I'd heard stories of had been taken out in some way by this generational curse of lust. I put the pieces together and I saw how every man I knew of and stories I heard had done damage to themselves and their families and their marriages in various ways, various things, various situations. And I didn't even realize that as this impressionable kid, I was stepping right into that same curse that was coming after me and my family and my future. And it was only because I heard the invitation of Jesus to come to him and discovered there was another way that I ultimately found freedom. Because I know with what hooked me and what got me, what my vice was, what my yoke of slavery was, would have done immense damage to my future marriage, my future children, my future family, and it would have just kept the cycle going. By the grace of God, several years into that whole battle, and with the body of Christ, I had opportunity to bring it into the light with a few people I trusted, where there could be confession and grace and wisdom and healing. It wasn't some easy thing. Like, I thought I was hopeless for a while. You understand this sort of journey where you just think, I'm hopeless. I'm never going to change, right? Like, but I had a few people in my life and some teaching to where after walking for some time in the yoke of Jesus, there was finally a point where it accumulated and something clicked. And it was the transformation by the renewing of my mind. And all of a sudden, God finally opened my eyes to show me something that I could not unsee once I saw it. I finally saw the ugliness, the destructiveness, the horror of what was happening to people made in the image of God. And I finally realized just how disgusting that was, and realizing, look, Lord, I want love. I want to love people. He opened my eyes. He set me free to where I let go of that old yoke, and I never looked back. It was an immense struggle, but he brought me to the place finally walking with him where I never looked back. Now, there's still years of like healing, because even letting go of some kind of vice, it had put scars on me. It affected the way I related in relationships. There were still deeper layers of healing and rewiring, even up to recent days where I've had to process with God of like, how do I really love truly, you know? But he set me free early on. I know maybe it sounds kind of funny to like talk about something that happened for me like 20 years ago, you know what I mean? Like, big deal. But like, I'm telling you, like, I was in bondage, and my life would not look the same if I hadn't been free from that by the grace of Jesus. And I know I'm speaking to people that understand this. And even if that's not your yoke of sin, that it's something else for you, I know you understand that cycle of shame. And Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. You see, because when I yoked with Jesus, now I was yoked with the power of Christ. Now I was yoked with the grace of God. Now I was yoked with the power of the blood of Christ to do some lifting that I just couldn't do on my own. And that's what it took. Walking it out in the power of his grace. That's what you can experience when you accept the invitation. What would it look like for you to accept Jesus' invitation today, to come to him and say, Lord, show me how to do life your way? Where do I need to make adjustments in my daily walk to be more in step with you? What is the way of life you're freeing me into this week? For the next 3 weeks in this series, we're going to be looking at specific practices, spiritual disciplines that are going to help us to live more into the easy yoke of Jesus and that elimination of hurry that we've been talking about. But today, just want you to sit with these simple questions. What is my yoke of slavery that God wants to free me from or has freed me from? Am I living in that yoke, or am I living in Jesus' yoke? And what is his invitation to me this week to do life more his way? Every time we come together to worship him, every time we come to Jesus, there is an opportunity and an invitation to throw off the yoke of slavery, the yoke of condemnation, the yoke of sin and shame, and an invitation to come under the yoke of Jesus, the Lord of life. The enemy wants us to buy into the lie that we're hopeless and that we have to live in hiding and bury it down in the darkness because we're too afraid of what people think if they knew who we really were, blah, 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 blah. Sin thrives in that darkness and that secrecy. God says, come into the light. Come under my yoke. Let me set you free. Opportunity is here today and every day. So as we worship, I want you to turn your heart to God. Just ask him what he's doing in your life. Ask him to show you. Where you need to throw something off, some burden needs to go. And do it with Jesus, yoked to him. Would you pray with me? This is more than just an obligatory way to finish a service. This is an invitation to meet with God. He sees you, and he loves you. He sees you more truthfully and clearly than anybody else, and even in that, he loves you. The one who knows you most also loves you best. That's hard for some of us to believe, but it's true. Jesus, we do come to you. And we just want to envision with eyes of faith a room where there are yokes being thrown off and thrown down, where there are chains being broken off, where there are lies being rejected and thrown off, and where we're stepping out in freedom to step under the yoke of Jesus, to do life your way, to walk alongside you, to get rest finally, to get peace finally, to get freedom finally. Take us on that journey, Lord. Whatever it takes, some of us are in that lie that because it's been hard and it just hasn't been working, that we'll never be free, that we're just doomed, that we're just hopeless, and that's a lie from hell. There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Take us on that journey, Jesus, to lead us through the paths that it's going to take to bring that healing, to bring that renewal of our minds, to walk according to truth and light and life. Your grace, your love, not the yokes of the world. You have so much more for us. And I just pray in the name of Jesus for healing, for freedom, for salvation in this room. I pray that you would give us an unceasing desire to draw near to you and find what only you can give. And not stop asking and seeking and knocking until we get it. It's worth it. Give people courage in this room to find somebody and step into the light together, to find the grace of honesty and confession and healing. Give them courage to walk with you, Jesus. We receive your saving love in this place today. We want all that you have for us. And all of this we pray, Lord. All this we pray in the name of the Savior, Jesus. Here is invitation one last time. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Yes, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.